This episode of Cell TV, pelvic floor syndrome. Could this be why you have low back pain, digestive issues, constipation, hormone problems? You better stay tuned because the answer is maybe. And men, don't tune this out. You hear about pelvic floor. This has a lot to do with prostate issues, maybe why you're peeing during the night, and yes, erectile dysfunction. I think I got your attention, but no doubt this is affecting so many people unknowingly. It's a cause of so many problems, even chronic pain disorders of the low back. So this is a really important show. That's why I had this expert on who's written 5 books on this topic. And let me tell you something, this is a breakthrough. She gives amazing tips and a protocol that will change your life. And you know what? I have a 21-day challenge that I too made known to you because I think that's how important this topic is. So stay tuned for an amazing show.
One, welcome to Cellular Healing TV. I'm Ashley Smith, and today we welcome licensed physical therapist and pelvic floor expert, Isa Herrera. She developed her expertise in diagnosing and treating pelvic pain, leaking, and prolapse by helping over 14,000 women at her New York City Healing Center. She's also the author of 5 books on the topic of pelvic floor dysfunction and pain, and she is offering a free gift to our audience today. So please check out our show notes where you can read more about Isa, and we will have links to all of this wonderful information. So I'll let you two take it from here. Let's welcome Isa Herrera and, of course, Dr. Pompa. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm super excited to be here. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you, Dr. Pompa.
Yeah. You know, I think that most people don't realize what a big problem this actually is. But I think we better start here. You know, what is pelvic floor syndrome? How does it affect people's health in general? How many people are even suffering from this? Obviously women, but how many people?
You know, that's a great question because the truth of the matter is that we have over 30 million women in the U.S. alone suffering from chronic pelvic floor dysfunction. It's a huge number. 1 out of 3, we have 50% of older women with prolapse and another 49% of women who have incontinence. So I just think it's almost like everybody when you take those stats into consideration. And, you know, a lot of women believe that maybe this is a part of aging or it's a part of motherhood or it's a part of just the way things are, but it's not true.
Right?
So pelvic floor dysfunction, I mean, you know, it has a gamut of symptoms, a big, huge gamut of symptoms.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that because a lot of people would be like, oh, well, I don't have that, so I'm not going to watch this show. You know, it's like, yet a lot of the problems that you have could be this problem. So talk about some of the symptoms and, you know, and then how we can really properly diagnose this.
Yeah, I mean, there's the subtle symptoms, right? The ones that sort of like creep up on you and you just ignore them because you think, oh, this is just the way things are. Constipation is a huge issue with that. Digestive issues is huge. Pain with sitting, pain with defecation. And then there's the obvious ones like leaking, deep pressure in the pelvis, or what I call like a sciatica in the pelvis. And these symptoms, you know, they just don't go away. They just compound themselves and they get worse. But sometimes we're like, oh, no, things are going to get better. This is just the way it is.
Yeah, so you've got now you have some people's attention. Constipation, digestive problems, right? Pain, you know, I mean, from back pain to pelvic pain, obviously. And I think that most people look at, like, you know, urine problems. You know, those type of chronic infections, you know, down there is the classic symptoms. But again, constipation, digestive issues, kind of explain that more, why that would be connected. I mean, how many people have constipation and have tried everything and this could be the problem?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And the thing is that then they have this constipation. Maybe they have pain with defecation, or maybe, you know, they have loose stools, whatever it is. But digestion is a big issue because the pelvic floor muscles are like, they're like sort of really connected to the abdominal area and really connected to the digestive system through the fascial system, right? So there's sort of like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Okay.
And in order to really have a good poop, I mean, we're going to go there, right? So let's go there. The pelvic floor muscles have to open, release, and let go, right? But so many of us are holding so chronically tight. And this is not just a woman's issue. I see a lot of men also with constipation and digestive issues. And what's really interesting is that they feel that the only thing that's going to help them is by getting the pelvic floor muscles stronger. So they do more Kegels, then they get tighter, then they have more constipation, and then it becomes a vicious cycle.
Yeah, matter of fact, that's what I was going to say. Most people that go to their practitioner and be like, oh, you just need Kegels if you have a pelvic floor problem. But I think there's two problems here. Number one is you're not diagnosed correctly that this is a pelvic floor issue. And then number two, if you are, then you're given the due Kegels, right? And again, you just pointed out, you can actually strengthen the muscles and actually cause more of a problem. So we're going to get folks to, you know, there's actual solutions. My gosh, you wrote 5 books on this. So
yeah.
That's the expert in this area on, because this is such a big deal. And again, I think a lot of hidden problems that people are suffering with daily, it's this problem. So, okay. So let me ask you something. If we back up a second, how would, you know, if I were somebody watching this, and you said this could be a man problem as well, mm-hmm. you know, how do I know? Is this my problem or not? Is there a way to know?
Yeah, I mean, usually it falls into some sort of category, right? So I like to call it the 5 S's of the pelvic floor. It's either a supportive issue, right? So if the pelvic floor muscles are too tight or too weak, things can drop into the vagina and cause a prolapse. Sometimes it's a stability issue, right? And what a lot of women and men, there's this thing that the pelvic floor is only sexual, right? Of course, there could be orgasmic problems too, or lack of orgasms, but they play a big part in stability. So if the pelvic floor muscles are too tight or too weak, another one of the S's is that you can get low back pain, right? You can get SI joint pain. You can get menstrual cramps. You can get the uterus out of alignment because things attach to the sacrum. So those are some of the categories. And sometimes you can get, like, the catch-all phrase now is pelvic congestion. Everybody has pelvic congestion, right? Because the pelvic floor muscles, one of the S's is the sump pump. They have a lymphatic function to them. Right. So the sphincteric, the supportive, the sexual, they have a stability to them. And the one thing that I like to think about the pelvic floor muscle is that they also have like a spiritual component to them. So when things are not happening and things are really, or there's scar tissue, because these muscles are like any other muscle in the human body. They can have scar tissue. They can have spasms. They can have trigger points. They can have myofascial tension. Right. And so I feel like if we start to think about these muscles more like, instead of like between our legs, and more like just like any other muscle in the body, and the way we would take care of our bodies, our biceps, our triceps, we have to do the same thing with these pelvic floor muscles.
Well, how do we know that this is our problem, though? Meaning that, you know, I mean, I can't go, hey, there's a blood test. I can't necessarily do this test or that. So I know you brought up, like, if you have pain, this might be your problem, but how do I know if it's your problem?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one of the few ways that you can know is for you have to take a really detailed medical history. And it's really based on symptoms. Now, there's also ways that you can go to a pelvic floor physical therapist and you can get a manual examination assessment of the pelvic floor muscles. And we assess for strength, endurance, trigger points, scar tissue, either intravaginally or interrectally, right? But many times when you do that, you still have to ask these other questions, right? That lead you to a diagnosis. So for me, it's kind of really simple. Do you pee on yourself when you cough, sneeze, or laugh? Yes, pelvic floor dysfunction. You know, so you have pain with intimacy. Pelvic floor dysfunction, 100%.
Right. These are almost like 100%ers, right? But then constipation, back pain, that may be, maybe this problem. And to your point, okay, let's say you have these issues that have been chronic, digestive issues, constipation, low back pain, some of these things that we may not associate with a pelvic floor problem. But look, it's your solution is worth trying regardless. Am I right on that?
Absolutely.
Okay, and we'll get to the solution, you know, in a minute. But I'm sure, like you said, you can promote your books and you actually have a program that you kind of dial in here, right? Promote it now, just so we can put it out there. We'll put a link. I'm sure Ashley will put a link, but you can talk about it.
Yeah, you know, I ran a really busy practice on Madison Avenue for 12 years. And after 12 years, I realized that I just wasn't having the global effect that I wanted to have. I wanted to bring this even bigger because it's such a big problem, like you said, Dr. Pompa. It is so big that I decided to sort of bring my program online. So I have a V-Core Lift program, which is specifically for leaking and for prolapse and for sexual dysfunction. And it works really well. Everything is videotaped. You have a little thing that you can actually ask yourself some questions and then figure out what's actually going on. So it leads you down a road to like, am I this or am I that? And what should I do? So the program is sort of like the same thing as if you were to come and see me in New York City, except, you know, without the hefty price and the traveling.
Yeah, New York City is always a hefty price with something.
It really is.
All right. Yeah. No. So we appreciate that, and we love guests that come on and offer gifts, and you have that for our viewers. So you'll be able to get this protocol dialed in. So all right. Well, let's talk about it though. Let's talk about the solution because, like you said, women are sent home with do Kegels, and as you pointed out, it can make it worse. So what is the answer here?
I think the answer is like everything else. Balance, fluidity, and flexibility. I think there's such a big mind game on women thinking that they're either too loose down there or not strong enough. So the only solution given by many, the practitioners tell them, go home and do a bunch of Kegels. And the majority of women don't even know how to do a Kegel correctly.
Yeah, they try it for a day or two, then it's done. Because it's butt, literally.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a little boring, right? You got to make it sort of exciting. And there are over 25 different types of Kegels. So which one do you pick? How do you start, right? You have to start in the beginning. You have to start with really creating flexibility first, because when the muscle is really flexible and supple, then you can contract it and make it stronger and make it more vital and create the vitality of it. But if the muscle is adhered, if it's tension, let's face it, with everything that's going on right now in the world, I think most of us hold really tight in the pelvis.
You actually started hitting on one of my questions I actually forgot to ask. It was in my head, is why is this an epidemic? Why is this happening to so many women? What's missing all of a sudden?
I think that I think a lot of it has to do with sitting. Like, sitting is the new smoking for the pelvic floor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And poor sitting is the kiss of death for the pelvic floor. So a tip here for your audience, which would be really amazing, is make sure that you have a really good ergonomic station if you're working from home, and do not slump sit. When you slump sit, you make the muscles really tight, and then you're trying to do Kegels and you're trying to find the nevada of the pelvic power, and it's not attainable because you don't have the balance, right? So sitting, I think prolonged sitting is probably one of the worst things that's happening. Okay. On many levels, but it does affect the pelvic floor dramatically also.
Is there any correlation of toxins, toxicity, stressors as far as chemical or emotional?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that there's been so much, with everything with the sexual trauma and everything with the Me Too, I mean, Time's Up movement, we just know that women have had a lot of trauma in this particular area. And because it is a basket, because it is a holding area, we tend to store emotions there. And this is a buildup of toxicity. It's a buildup of lactic acid. And what happens is we guard, right? So it's natural to guard. It's natural to want to protect ourselves. But when these muscles go through a lot of trauma, emotional, physical, or whatever it is, then they tend to grip. And when they grip, they give you pain, or they give you a stabbing pain, or what I call sciatica in the pelvis. So it's really, really hard, trying to get to the root cause of things when we have to really explore our entire lives, right? How we sit, how we think, how we eat. What is the microbiome like,
Yeah, no, exactly. So we're assuming, hey, as we look upstream at those things, but people want something they can do now. So, okay, let's get back to the solution, the protocol, this balance that you're saying that we create, you know, give, you know, I'm the person sitting out there going, yeah, I want it step by step here. I want to know exactly what to do.
Yeah, we all do. Everybody wants it now. You know, let me do it. I think one of the really most important things is breath, right? A lot of us really confine our breath, and the pelvic floor muscles and the diaphragm, they work together. Yeah. There's synchronization with them, right? So as you breathe in, right, you're inhaling, the pelvic floor muscles go down and the diaphragm goes down. So the first thing is to make sure that you're breathing correctly, right? A lot of us are like this, you know? So diaphragmatic breathing is really important, because when you do the diaphragmatic breathing, you're coordinating with the diaphragm. But then when you do that, the muscles also up and up.
Yeah, and again, I mean, so when people say, oh, breathing, okay, then we go back to our lifestyle, now we're breathing again, I mean, short, shallow breaths. So you're saying take how long a day and to do this diaphragmatic breathing where, you know, which you could describe a little better for people on how to do that and for how long each day.
Okay, so for the prescription for the diaphragmatic breathing would be at least 5 to 10 minutes a day. Place your hands on your belly and make sure that when you're breathing in, the belly swells up like a nice balloon.
And when you exhale, instead of bringing it into our lungs, we'll actually bring it into our belly.
And then we're going to bring it down further. We're going to bring it into our pelvic floor, which I call pelvic floor breathing. Because when you breathe into the belly, you get a certain aspect of the pelvic floor. But when you go down deep and you breathe what I call vaginal breathing or anal breathing for men, then we get to the part where we can open and release. And when we do that, that's called a reverse Kegel, which is the thing.
What does that feel like exactly? If I would say, okay, I'm doing it right or I'm not, what would I feel?
You would feel like an opening. You would feel an expansion. You would feel like a release.
Okay,
you would
feel myself it, and expand.
Well, actually, this is how you start. You initiate pooping and peeing.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
It's with the reverse Kegel, right? That's why you'll feel like that for sure.
So, I mean, so is that a tip? I mean, so you should almost kind of make that poop pee feeling as you're bringing air into that area and kind of coordinating those two.
Absolutely. And the main thing when you are pooping or peeing, since we're going here, is don't push. If you push, you're doing the opposite. These muscles will never release and you'll always have constipation, or you'll have hesitancy of urination, or you have a trickle of peeing. And so the main thing is to open, release, and let go, and then everything comes out easier. So we don't want to force it, right? Because when we force it, the pelvic floor muscles do what? Boom. So you can't get anything out if you're this tight. It's not going to happen, right? You have to sort of open and let go and
I just tried so hard. I just got like dizzy. I did something in that area and you feel weird. Okay. And so I literally focused on that area so much. I got this like weird feeling from my testicles. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but this happens though. This is normal.
Right, I got
energy. Weird. Yeah. This is energy moving through you. Right. And sometimes when there's a big energetic opening, you could feel lightheaded. Yeah. You could feel like, hey, what's going on? Or you can retrieve a memory sometimes. So I think it's pretty fantastic that you had that experience. Good for you.
Jack, I don't know that I connected my breath to that area. And I could actually recreate it. When I connect my breath to that area, something happens. That's all I'm saying.
Good for you, though. As long as it's a good thing, it's good, right? And you'll know if it's good or bad. You'll know.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty odd. He's got goosebumps that time. Okay. So step two, that's step one. What are we doing?
Okay. So step one is the reverse Kegel, the diaphragmatic breathing. Absolutely important.
Why do you call it a reverse Kegel again?
That's something that I coined about 10 years ago, because everybody Kegels and everybody wants to lift and everybody wants to squeeze up.
Yeah.
But the reverse Kegel is the opposite. It's the dropping, it's the releasing, it's the letting go.
So yeah, that's when I got that feeling. So that drop feeling. So reverse Kegel makes sense now to me. I'm glad I asked that.
Yeah, and I think that when women go see a physician, instead of them telling them, hey, go do a bunch of Kegels, maybe we should be prescribing the reverse Kegel and saying, let's create this flexibility first so that we can take you to the promised land and get these symptoms fixed. So that's the first thing.
And before we get to the second, how long does someone have to do this, like you said, 5-10 minutes a day, before we notice an improvement?
Well, it depends on how connected you are to your breath, right? A lot of people can't even do diaphragmatic breathing. What they do is the opposite, something called paradoxical breathing. So once we can get that connection of the belly filling as we inhale and flattening as we exhale, and we get that going, then we can either put our hands on the perineum or our hands inside and then start to feel for the opening, right? So we can confirm it. Once that's mastered, then, only then, can you go and do a Kegel, right? Because for everything that goes up, it must come down. I mean, it's a law.
So you're saying then after you master this, then you can actually do a Kegel?
Yes. Oh. If that's the right prescription for you. If you're a woman and you have sexual pain, if you have pain with orgasms, if you have pain with sitting, if you have low back pain, if you have sciatica, if you just had a surgery, you may have to stick with the reverse Kegels for quite some time until you heal that area and until the pain subsides, right? Because we don't want to create more tension in an area that's already tense and painful. That doesn't
So how do we know when to move on to the Kegel? And you better re-describe the Kegel. Maybe that's step two, and I'm just jumping ahead with questions.
Yeah, I think that once you have, and you always have to ask yourself, what's your pain level? You know, 0, no pain, 10, worst pain you ever had. And I think that women who have very low level pain or no pain, those are the individuals who are candidates for Kegels. Anytime there's a pain situation, Kegels are not, they're not going to work for you. They're going to make you worse. They really are. So don't go there. You know, it's going to save you a lot of heartache at the end. And for a Kegel, what we're looking is for, we're looking for a couple of things. I have my model here if you want me to bring it out.
Yeah, we love models.
Okay, perfect. Let me do it. Yeah. Because I think a picture paints 1,000
words. Yeah, and then describe too, because we do get, hundreds of thousands of people just listening. So just think about those people, and we get viewers. So,
yeah, the Kegel here involves three things. So everybody, if you're listening, write this down. The clitoris should nod when you do it. The perineal body right here should move up and in. And the anus should wink. And you should be doing all of that as you exhale. It should wink. It should contract.
Oh, it should wink. Anus should wink. I thought you said a funny word I didn't know.
No, it's my accent. No, so we have the clitoral knot. The perineal body moves up and in. And then the anus should contract. It should happen together. And your pelvis should be neutral. Right? The body's really wonderful. When it wants to do a Kegel, it'll do all kinds of magical things to get the Kegel going. Okay. It'll squeeze the butt, it'll squeeze the inner thigh, you lift your body off the table.
I just lift it up. Yeah, I got it. I can do it. The opposite Kegel, diaphragmatic breathing, letting everything settle down, but not to the point of pooping yourself or peeing yourself, right? But letting that relax as the air comes in, all right? And then people that aren't in a lot of pain, people that have a lot of pain syndromes in any area, you would continue that process until the pain dissipates, then move on to the Kegel. But let's say the person without a lot of those symptoms, maybe they're doing it for a digestive issue, when can they move to that Kegel portion where you're actually going up?
I think as soon as they master the reverse Kegel.
Okay, all right.
As soon as they can go down, then
move on to the Kegel. Got it.
Totally. Because some people spend too much time on the reverse Kegel because they love the relaxation and they get all like, you know, into it. But eventually the goal is always to do a Kegel, reverse Kegel. There's no such thing as a Kegel without a reverse Kegel. You have to.
And the world is doing the opposite. The world is just doing a Kegel without the reverse Kegel, and really it should be reverse Kegel then Kegel, and both together properly.
That's it. You're going to take my job away from me, Dr. Pompa.
I hope I'm just doing mine, meaning, you know, you do this all the time, right? Like when I talk about cellular detox, it's like you know, that I kind of just skip over things, and my brain's asking a zillion questions that hopefully our viewers are asking or wondering as well. But okay, so that's step one and step two. Do we need to cover anything else there before we move on?
I think one of the critical things is, right, you know, this container, this physical body that we have holds the pelvic floor. The bones hold the pelvic floor. So posture. And I know that it sounds so simple and everybody's like, oh my God, why is she teaching about posture? But that's the container that is holding the muscles.
Yeah.
And if you have your knees locked down, if you're all forward head, if your muscles are weak in the back, then it affects everything down the spine.
Absolutely.
Posture. Yeah.
And by the way, sitting is probably the number one thing that destroys posture, right? Mm. You know, I mean, I don't spend a lot of time sitting, right? I because I do so many different things in my day. But when I'm sitting here, right now, my back is in an arched position. I mean, I've trained myself, you know, literally to sit in this proper position.
Yeah.
Not this.
Yeah.
Right? Not this computer position that I see my kids and I'm going to smack them on the back.
Well, it makes me nuts, especially the kids today with their social media. Even my daughter, I'm like, you cannot sit that way. I know. And then they wonder why they have TMJ, neck pains, upper back pain.
Yeah, gosh.
It's crazy. Yeah. Your position of comfort is your position of permanent deformity.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, I agree. So, you know, sitting is the kiss of death for this, and it weakens the pelvic floor, and then it's going to set you up for. And the sad part is most people end up on medications for this stuff instead of actually dealing with the cause. So.
Yeah. And what makes me really crazy is that a lot of women will either do some kind of medication or surgery, right? Yeah. Some kind of injection for something that can actually be healed naturally in the privacy of your own home with the proper guidance. And it's not a mystery. All you have to do is find yourself someone who knows what they're talking about and get the program going. I mean, the good news and the bad news is that you're actually the only person that's in charge of your pelvic health. There's no one else external to you who's going to come down and be like, well, let me sprinkle some fairy dust and give you the most perfect, pelvic floor. It's not going to happen. It takes conditioning like anything else, strengthening, balancing. And sometimes you have to do some internal work if you're a woman and a man too, by the way.
Yeah. You know, I mean, so many of us are working on the muscles that don't matter for all around health. Right. It's like, and yet this muscle's sitting there, you know, absolutely getting more flaccid as time goes on, creating more digestive issues, constipation, more problems in your hormones that you don't even think that this could be the problem. And, you know, gosh, 5-10 minutes a day could change your world. You know, forget about your bicep or your thigh.
Tricep, because women are obsessed with their triceps. I'm like, if we can be as obsessed with our vaginas as we are with our triceps, we will conquer the world.
Yeah.
I mean, we are.
I agree, yeah. Or those thigh muscles or the abs, right? Oh. It's like, come on, man. It's like that your pelvic muscles are more, you want to talk about core. This is the core of the cores, right? Your abs are your abs are your core. You know what I'm saying? And your obliques. But your pelvic muscle is really the core of the core. Is that a safe statement?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is the core of your core. It's the most important core. It's like
by the way, the core of your core.
No, I like it. I like it. Thank you for that tip. I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the abdominal muscles also are interconnected with the pelvic floor. So if you've had a hysterectomy, myomectomy, if you have a cesarean, you have to take care of the scar and you have to take care of the core in a way that makes sense. So you have to do proper abdominal training, not these 3,000 crunches that women are doing, because then that creates more trigger points and more disharmony, maybe a diastasis recti separation. And then you're doing all the Kegels, you're doing the reverse Kegel, but your core is weak,
okay.
The foundation, which is the abdominal muscles.
Yeah, which maybe that's step 3 or 4, working some of the abdominal muscles. I don't know, you tell me.
Yeah, totally. I think the one abdominal muscle that all humans should be working, regardless, you know, of where you are in your life, is the transverse abdominal muscle, because that's the deep core. That's the one we don't see, so we don't see it, we don't train it, right? We want to train the beauty, the obliques, the six-pack. But to train the transverse is to give you the ultimate power when you train that with the pelvic floor. And it's really simple. All you have to do is sit up really straight, inhale. And as you exhale, bring your belly button slightly into your spine, but up towards your heart. And that's the trick. It's this up motion. In and up and hold for 5 seconds and then release.
Yeah.
And when you do it, it's really beautiful and it will give you the beautiful core that everyone desires and it's functional. And what it does, it gives you a way to create more power in the pelvis so you experience less leaking, prolapse, whatever it is. But you need to have this core muscle really trained. And it's also going to help your back because, you know, it also fires the back muscles. So I find like these little things, like we're looking for the big answers, right? The big things, but it's really all the micro steps that we take on a daily basis. The breathing, the core, the sitting, the posture.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. Okay, so is that step 3 or 4? I don't know. Where are we?
I don't know. I think it's step 4. I lost count. But the transverse abdominal training is really important. I mean, and I think like one of the big tips, okay, I'll give you tip number 5.
Okay.
You know, stop doing crunches. I think that went out with bell bottoms in the 70s, you know?
Yeah, right? It's true.
It's true. I mean, I can't believe people are still doing old-fashioned crunches. I'm like, for real? I mean, come on. So in my program, I don't allow anyone to do a crunch, and they get really upset with me. They're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I'm going to get you there. Just follow these few little basics.
And again, I'm. What is the gift that you have for everybody? And, you know, the program that we have here kind of walks you through in greater detail. So don't panic, folks. You know, you provided for that, Issa. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I'm giving everybody the ultimate guide to happier lady parts, which is the ultimate guide to get you to where you, it's like step one. Step one is that. Read that report, go in there, check it out. It's going to give you a lot of beautiful tips. You're going to love it. And then from there, if you want to go deeper, then of course you would explore one of my programs and you typically follow up with that, depending on what your condition is. But I just want women to know that they don't have to be afraid of their own bodies, that their bodies haven't betrayed them, that it's really just, it's like a self-care program for the rest of your life. Really knowing how to care for this vital part. I mean, you know, we don't get that. My daughter just got like a sex education. And I say, honey, what did they teach you in that class, right? They should be talking about the pelvic floor and everything. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, she'll have to teach it. They should bring you as a lecturer. So what's that, you know, I mean, this affects women's hormones in general because I understand the anatomy, right? But most people listening or watching may not. How will this affect your hormones in general? Because when they're saying, well, I have this hormone imbalance and I'm taking this bioidentical hormone, when meanwhile, the core may start with the core of the core.
I think one of the things about hormone imbalance, and let's talk a little bit about the pelvic floor muscles being a feedback loop, right? A feedback system, right? And if there's congestion, tightness, if there's a lack of circulation, right? Then what happens is the muscles become atrophic. And then when they become atrophic, we start to think that there is a hormone imbalance, but maybe there's not. Maybe there is. You have to check that with the blood to make sure you're under the right care. But the most important thing is to understand that we always need to have circulation. Cellular healing in the pelvis is really important.
Yeah.
The opening, the having those muscle cells really sharp in the pelvis is really important. So all the different tools that you have definitely will work for that. But I think that one of the most important things is just understanding that there is something that you can do that's natural, that is holistic, and that is actually going to bring results.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking, okay, let me go pop that pill, let me get this antibiotic, let me do this, because the pelvic floor muscles can mimic infections too.
True. Yeah, no, it does, absolutely. And they end up on a darn antibiotic, which affects them multiple ways. You know, one of the things I'm going to challenge my listeners and viewers to is, you know, it's 21 days to make a habit. If you take 5 minutes every day and just do this, number one, every day you'll get better. You'll feel it more every day. See where you're at in 21 days, because you know everybody that makes a massive change in their life or their health, it started with a decision of like, you know, I'm just going to do this, even in my own life. So I challenge you all, commit to 21 days. You know, get the free gift that you offer, but commit to the 21 days and just do it and evaluate where you're at. If you're no better, stop doing it. But I promise you, because I know the importance of this, you know, and again, it's affecting so many people. That's why you're on the show.
Thank you.
It's affecting so many people unknowingly. And that's the sad part. I think you said that women on average go to 5 to 7 doctors for these types of symptoms, right? And it's like, and they end up on different medications and problems. And
Worse, they end up with a mesh surgery, or they take out their uteruses, or... Yeah. They'll give them a you know, some sort of bladder surgery. And that's what makes me crazy. It's kind of like, you know, there's such a lack of education among practitioners when it comes to this field,
yeah.
Right? And we're still doing the same old, and it's just not working anymore. And it's pretty evident with the old, you know, it's pretty obvious with all the evidence that's out there right now. Yeah. And so I like that you did that challenge. I think it's really incredible because it does take 21 days,
yeah.
Right? There is no magic bullet healing. There is action. And you have to take baby steps, right? You move a mountain, how? One step at a time. And the same thing with the pelvic floor, but you have to create a habit to care for these muscles the way you would care for your thigh muscles or your butt muscles, you know, doing the squats and that kind of thing. So I like this challenge. I think it's really awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep, we'll call it the pelvic floor 21-day challenge. Let's do it.
I love it.
No, you know why? Because I know the lives. I know that people will watch the show, listen to the show, and go, oh, that makes a lot of sense. And then they just don't make that conscious decision to absolutely commit to something. 21 days, do it. And I know that people's lives will change if you make the decision. So, you know, no doubt that's the challenge. I have one really important question for you, and this is a big one. Where is your accent from?
Oh, I'm Puerto Rican.
Ah, Puerto Rican. That's awesome. Puerto Rican. Yeah. So you actually are part of the United States. No, but
yes, I am. How many times I get that question? I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm guilty of it too. Oh, Puerto Rico. You know, it's like we still have that mindset. You know, there's a tax advantage if you move to Puerto Rico, right?
Or, yeah. You know. Did you see all these hot entrepreneurs now? All these online gurus are moving there?
Yeah.
I'm gonna hit them up when I do my little, I do a benefit for Puerto Rico once a year. I'm gonna call them all up. They live in Puerto Rico now. And I'm gonna be like, I need you to pony up, you know?
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, you know, it's funny, my oldest daughter, her boyfriend is from Puerto Rico. So I have an interest in going to Puerto Rico now, and I will.
Oh, you must. It is one of the most beautiful places in the whole world. Yeah. It is beautiful there.
How are they recovering from the hurricane? I mean, I'm sure some parts faster than others.
I think some parts faster than others, but it's still really bad. I mean, I have a bunch of family there, and they had a complete brownout, and there was no water for a couple of days. I mean, it never hits the media, you know, but it's still pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's still pretty bad.
Well, you had a blackout in New York City not that long ago. So.
I know. I'm like, I know. I'm like, really? You know? So I was like, yeah, it happens. And it's going to recover. It will. And it's just everybody has to participate in any way that they can, at any level that they can.
So you've written 5 books. If someone were to start, what book would they start with? What's the name of it?
Well, it would be, depending on the condition, I would say either Female Pelvic Alchemy if you're leaking and have prolapse. And if you have pain, you would go to Ending Female Pain, which, you know, of course. And if you're a guy, you would get my male book, Ending Male Pelvic Pain.
You took my last question. So if I'm a guy, you already did say that this applies to guys as well, right? I know that the pelvic floor plays into the prostate, which is, you know, that's a big deal for men. You know, nocturnal urination, meaning, you know, you're urinating up, you know, a few times during the night. For me, even urinating, I mean, granted, if you drink a huge glass of water before bed, you'll probably urinate. But, you know, hey, I'm 54. If I don't drink water before bed, I don't get up and urinate, right? I mean, so that's the difference of a healthy pelvic floor, you know, prostate, and someone who's not. But talk about how this does apply to men.
Really great question. When I first started this out, I never thought that I would see men. And then all of a sudden, men started coming to me for, you know, prostate cancer after they've had the prostate removed, or if they had prostatitis, or if they had a pain in the pelvis. And what's really interesting is that it's very, very similar to all the things that I gave you right now. All these steps that we gave for women are the exact same steps that a man would follow. And many times it will come to me because of erectile dysfunction. I mean, men will come when there's something happening with their penis, okay? They're like, okay, I'm here.
That's it. That was going to be my last thing. Does this apply there? The answer is yes. Now
100%.
You've got their attention.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing is, they come to me, they're like, what do I do? And I'm like, well, you're going to do everything else that every other woman has done for the millennia. You're going to work these muscles. They're like, what? Right. So men typically listen to me. They'll do what I tell them to do, and they heal faster because they don't want me anywhere near them. They're like, okay, we're done here. What do I need to do? So I wrote the book because of all these men that were coming to me, and there's such a global problem that I say, you know, I need to help them more. And that was one of the reasons why I wrote the book. I never had any intention of writing a book for men, but it's such a big problem, especially in New York City. I think we have such high power executives all stressed out all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. All the time.
And where are you in New York?
I'm in Madison Avenue.
Ah, so which streets?
Between 33rd and 34th Street. Uh-huh. That's where I have my practice. And now I have a little practice in Brooklyn. So that's where
Madison, I'm 34th and 36th. Yep. Yeah, okay. I know where that is.
Yeah, I was there for 12 years and then I pivoted and I decided to go online. So I gave that practice up. And now, because I always want to do the work with the patients, I have an office here, a garden office in Park Slope in Brooklyn.
Next time in New York, I'm going to come visit you.
Yeah, you should. I'll take you out. Definitely. You should definitely come over and visit. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, Isa, thank you for being on. This is great information. I hope everybody takes our challenge. I hope everybody takes your gift as well. And no doubt their life will get better if you choose to do it. So great information. Wow, what a niche, what an expert you are. So I'm so glad we were able to get you on the show.
And I want to express my gratitude, you know, to you, Dr. Pompa, for being open to having this kind of discussion, because, you know, not too many people would do that. So I'm really happy. I love the fact that you're so open-minded, and I'm grateful to be here and to share my experience with you and your audience.
Well, hey, look, if I know it's going to help people make a difference, you know, I know the problems people are having out there, and this is one of those topics that people aren't talking about and need to, and it's a hidden cause, and I love exposing that stuff. So I think we did here today. So thanks again for being on the show.
And thank you. Thank you.
Awesome.
Big gratitude. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. This episode was brought to you by Cyto Detox. Please check it out at buycytonow.com. We'll be back next week and every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. We truly appreciate your support. You can always find us at cellularhealing.tv, and please remember to spread the love by liking, subscribing, giving an iTunes review, and sharing the show with anyone you think may benefit from the information heard here. And as always, thanks for listening.